Go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 5 through verse number 10 responsively this morning. Out the middle of your Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 5 through verse number 10. I'll read verse number 5. You'll join me on verse number 6. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a place that we can come in a world full of a lot of negativity, Lord, error, and Lord, a lot of things that can cause us to get distracted from what you have for us, Lord. Thank you for a place, Lord, of truth, of comfort, of encouragement, of strength, of fellowship. Lord, please use the truth that you've prepared for us this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Lord, may we not just listen, Lord, out of requirement, but may we listen out of necessity. Lord, may we listen, Lord, to take this truth and to apply it to our lives so we become better Christians because of it. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
I want to help you today. Proverbs 3, 5, and 3, 6 are used a lot in my life and in others here in our church. But I need your attention for a few minutes. I want you to kind of quit fiddling and fussing and piddling with your nails and whatever. But I need your brain for a minute here, and it will help me. I'm going to have to kind of start in a place I don't like starting, and that's on the flip side of a truth, but I think if you'll listen to me, I can help you today. There's much said these days about motive, or why we do something. This has never been more true than even in the spiritual or the religious world today. Well, if you don't have the right attitude, you shouldn't do it. Says who? Motive has become a big issue to people because man wants to play God.
That's right.
We want to decide whether somebody is sincere or not. Did you know you can't judge somebody's sincerity? Did you know there's no sincerity meter in the book? Not one. Well, I wonder if they really meant it. Okay, who made you God? Who are you to judge whether somebody meant that or not? Everybody doing okay? Well, as I see it, we don't care how you see it. How does God see it? I realize that preachers want people to sincerely love God. I would love for every member of this church, you young people and you younger adults and you middle-aged people and you older adults, I wish every person in this room would sincerely love God. I wish that you would love him with emotion, with every fiber of your being. I wish you'd learn to fellowship with him. But may I say this, I'd rather you obey him with a bad motive, then love him and do nothing. Some of us say, well, I just love God so much. You prove you love God by action, not by squishy feelings.
Amen.
You can have a squishy feeling if you're training a new puppy. You get up in the middle of the night, your foot might get a little squishy. Just because you have a squishy feeling doesn't mean you love. Everybody doing okay? Now, let me go a little further here. Preachers, in an effort to get people to sincerely love God, start throwing motive or reasoning behind it of as to why you do what you do. May I say this? We sinners cannot judge how another sinner is is being motivated or what their motive for doing it is. This is a dangerous and bad doctrine. Let me say that again. Judging somebody's motive is a dangerous and it is a bad doctrine. But preacher, some murderer about to be executed says he found Jesus as a savior. You really think he's going to go to heaven? Is all I can tell you this. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who are you to judge that? Who am I to judge that? You really think in jailhouse Christianity? I'd rather have it there than not at all, than have them fry in hell. Now, I'm not God, but let me ask you a question. If you asked your child to go out and mow the grass, do you want them to wait till they have the right motive before they mow the grass? It'll look like that field across the driveway over there. You expect obedience whether they have a good motive or not. Am I right? Well, I expect you to do the dishes. Some of you would be buying dishes every week versus them getting washed if they got washed with the right motive. So maybe this motive thing only works when you want it to work. You see, I would rather have obedience with a bad motive than no obedience at all. Everybody doing okay? We have now many preachers, especially radio preachers. Hang on, I'm about to get personal. They'll make statements like this. You need to trust Jesus with all your heart. Uh-uh. Did you really mean it? That's what they'll say. Did you mean it with all your heart? Let me ask you a question. How do you judge what all your heart is? God never one time in Scripture said to get saved, you had to mean it with all your heart. It's not there. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, preacher, how many of those people that you go out soul winning to that say they got saved really got saved? The same percentage of the none that you talk to. I have these preachers all the time say, well, you say you've had this many people saved. How many of them really meant it? I said, dude, probably more than the percentage. I said, my first question is this. How many did you have saved last year? Well, we had four. I'll say, my secretary won that many by accident delivering packages to the church. Well, we don't think somebody can get saved in one conversation. Oh. Well, look how many Jesus led to himself in one conversation. You see, there is not one verse in the Bible that says you have to trust Jesus with all your heart to get saved. That's why people wonder whether they're saved or not. Did you know you never have to doubt your salvation? Did you realize you were a sinner? Did you realize that sin has a penalty on it? That penalty was death and hell. That Jesus came and paid that price for you. And that all you had to do is trust him to get to heaven. Did you understand that? Yes. Did you accept that? Yes. Guess what? You're saved.
Amen.
I don't care whether you meant it with all your heart, with 99% of your heart, with 80% of your heart. I don't care if it was 50-50. If you did it, you obeyed God, you're on your way to heaven.
Amen.
There is nowhere in Scripture that puts a motive behind it. I've heard these idiots on the radio say, well, I don't think you should go to church unless you have the right motive. Well, bless God, if some boy comes to church looking for a girl for a date, at least he's here. I'd rather preach to a jerk in a pew than to an empty pew.
Amen.
I don't care the motive. Get here. God has a chance of getting a hold of you. If you wait till you have the right motive, guess what? You're not coming.
That's right.
I don't believe in forcing my kids to go to church. They might grow up and hate God someday and hate me someday. Bless God, you expect them to put clothes on. You don't let them walk out of the house naked.
That's right.
You want them to hate you for that too?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Amen. I'm having fun right now. I woke up this way. Don't worry. You see, this kind of doctrine that says, well, you have to have the right motive for everything, that is false doctrine.
Amen.
Now, what does it mean, then, to trust the Lord, as we read here in Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we're going to talk about this all thy heart today. Now, I have to start by saying this. What is our heart? Now, we know that inside our chest, just past the middle of your chest here, you got a little organ about the size of your fist called a heart. It pumps, and if it doesn't, you have troubles. And it won't be long before you won't have to worry about it because you'll wake up dead. All right, somewhere. You think I'm kidding? No, I'm not. You'll wake up dead in heaven or you'll wake up dead in hell. But it's got to be pumping and working, or guess what? Life stops. But also, the heart is the seat of our emotion. When God talks about our heart, it's talking about our emotions. In some societies in years gone by, they've thought that the kidneys were the seat of emotion. Can you imagine? I love you with all my kidney. Some thought it was the liver. I love you so much, you make my liver quiver or something. I don't know, but God says that the heart is where our emotions are. By the way, I'll give you a medical revelation. Brother Harry's back here. He can attest to this fact. I warned him. I warned Kathy. When someone has heart surgery, open heart surgery, about 4 to 5 weeks after surgery, matter of fact, I talked to you about it even, after surgery, you go through a little emotional crash. I can't explain it. Other than when you start fiddling with the heart, you're fiddling with people's emotions. And sure enough, almost to the day, Kathy called me and said, "Preacher, it's happening. Harry hit that thing with the emotions thing." I said, "Yeah, he'll get through it. Don't worry. Just takes a few weeks." But all of a sudden, it's resetting the emotions. Something happens physically in the heart that affects the emotions. It is a biological fact. It's not just something God said. The heart is the seat of emotions. If you've known someone that went through a heart surgery, you find out about 3, 4, 5 weeks after surgery, they kind of go through a little emotional depression. And then they come back out of it and they're okay. But it happens every time. Say why? Because the heart is the seat of our emotions. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll take time to turn there. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Then if you went to the book of Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, God tells us here, almost the same thing. In Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37, the Bible says this: "Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Now watch this. That means this: your heart is your emotion. Your soul is your personality. My speaking to you today is my soul communicating with your soul. We know what the body is. That's this ugly carcass before you. But it also says with all of your mind. That's your intellect. We are supposed to love God with our emotions. We are to love him with our personality. We are to love him with our intellect. And lastly, it says with all your might. That's all your strength. We are to love him with our strength, not our leftovers, with our strength. I love my wife because I stay strong so I can help her and love her as I should. It takes some physical strength. It takes some emotional strength. It takes some mental strength to stay strong to love. So God says, I want you to love me with your emotions, with your personality, with your intellect, and with your strength. Now watch this. Notice it is a command. In Matthew chapter 22, if you would have read it, it was the Pharisees talking to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, well, the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, all thy might. That was a command. But I want you to notice something. It was a command to God's people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5, God was commanding the children of Israel before they went into the promised land, look, remember, you better love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I want you to love me with every part of yourself. Because if not, you're going to fall away and follow false gods. Now watch this. That means this. The preacher that says, if you get saved and it didn't change your life like it changed mine, you must not have got what I got. I've heard those idiots say that. Well, that's false doctrine. Let me ask you a question. Did the thief on the cross change his life? He died that day. He didn't have much of a change of life. He didn't even get baptized. He didn't even get to say, holy cow. Let alone holy confession. He didn't take last rites. Say, what was it? He said, Lord, save me. I wonder if he really meant it. Everybody doing okay? So the preachers that say, or someone who says, well, if you didn't get it and your life didn't change, you didn't get it. Who are we to judge that? Well, they said that they got it, but they sure didn't live like it. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. If you plant a cherry tree like we did out front, but it never has cherries, does that mean that that's an apple tree? By the way, it doesn't make, I'll go one step farther. If it doesn't have cherries on it, does that mean that it's a dog? Just because it doesn't have fruit on it doesn't change the fact that it's still a cherry tree. Who are we to judge somebody that doesn't have fruit to show for it? Everybody doing okay? My Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise. Guess what? You say, well, I'm going to be a fruit inspector. No. We ought to be tree inspectors. Make sure they're a tree. Let God take care of the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? You say, what does that mean? In other words, let's quit judging everybody based on how they live their life. Let's quit doubting whether that person, well, I wonder if this person really meant it when they got saved. How much do you have to really mean it? When I got saved as a small child, how much did I really understand to mean? I can take you to the place. I could tell you what happened. I know what I did. Did I do it with all my heart? Did I have the right motive, or was it just an emotional decision? Well, according to the Bible, it says I'm supposed to love him with all my emotion. So God wants us to love him with our emotions. Let me ask you a question. We are to love God like a person. I enjoy being around my wife. That's why we've been married for 30 and a half years. I love her with my emotion. Everybody doing okay? That's not the only way I love her. But part of my love for my wife is my emotions for her. Let me ask you a question. Has your pulse ever raced when you got to spend time with God? Have you ever longed with emotion with God? I mean, wept with him. I mean, hurt for God. There are days I look to God with tears flowing down my face and say, I don't know how you take it. All these people that hate you, how do you get through it? God, it's not fair. And yet you love them whether they love you or not. God, that's not fair. Have you ever loved God emotionally? We live in a calloused emotion society.
Right.
Folks, we live in a very violent society.
Right.
We watch more violence. We play more violence. We see more violence than the average soldier did back 75 years ago. Most of you have seen more dead bodies, more blood, more violence than people that fought in war years ago. You watch it every day. You play it on your games. Everybody doing okay? And we have desensitized people to have no feeling at all. Us men, we got to be careful. Ladies' feelings are closer to the surface than ours are. Sometimes we don't understand feelings because we're brutish. I'll get into some of that tonight. Hang on. Part two tonight. Amen. But may I say this? No, I don't experience emotions like a lady does, thank God. But may I say this? I still have emotions. And every emotion she has and every emotion you have was given to you by God because God has those same emotions. We are not to let emotions control us, but we're not to squish everybody's emotions either. I'm dealing with a couple situations. I looked at someone today and said to myself, I need to help them, but today's not the day. They're not emotionally set for that today. I'll wait. I had two people like that today. I've got to do just a little tweaking. But I know if I tweak today, it ain't going to be a good thing. So I'll wait. I'll wait till they're able to handle it, then I'll tweak it. You say, well, preacher, what did you do? None of your business. But everything's going fine. And those people don't even know who they are. And never will. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
All right. In other words, why don't we look at somebody's emotions before we just pop off and say what we're thinking? Number two. Everybody doing all right? You all think that one's bad. Hang on, you got 20 minutes left. Number two, God wants us to trust him with our emotions. Look at Proverbs 3:5 again. I want you to see what it really says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, God says we can trust him with our emotions. And lean not to thine own understanding. Ooh. Well, the way I see it, God said, don't lean on that. Fellas, sometimes we have to back off of ladies because this world would be a pretty nasty place without them. Can you imagine how dirty and stinky and violent it would be with no women? On top of the fact, there wouldn't be anybody left because we ain't having babies. Whew. And there ain't no way if a man ever did have one, they would have a second one, for sure. Ain't no man ever going to go through that kind of pain twice. He learns the first time. Thank God he made women ugly blind. That's why they'd marry some ugly man. That's how they can call a brand new baby cute. Folks, it's ugly blind. All right? Say, preacher, do you not like little... I didn't say I didn't like them. I just didn't think they're cute. Sorry. When they're first hatched, you know, I don't care if it's a puppy, a bird, or a baby. They're not real pretty. Now, oh, they're beautiful. That's why God made you love a man. Mm-mm. Everybody doing okay? Y'all, men, come on, it's your chance. All right? She ain't going to slap you yet. Yeah. Can I tell you something? You can trust God with your emotions. He's not going to hurt you. God says, trust in the Lord with your heart. In other words, you can trust your emotions to God. He's not going to let you down. Preacher, I trusted in God and somebody I love died. Yeah, and that wasn't God's fault. God didn't sin, they did.
That's right.
Aging and sickness and death is a process of sin, not a process of God.
Right.
That is satanic. Blame the devil, not God.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? We're not to lean on how we think or how we feel. We're not to lean on our emotion. We're to lean on his emotion. Now watch this. When you are weak emotionally, you lean on someone who is strong emotionally. I don't know anybody as strong emotionally as God. It takes an awful lot to rattle me, just so you know. I don't get caught off guard very often. I don't care how bad the news. I don't care how tragic the news. I have been through so many things in my ministry. There's very little that catches me off guard emotionally. I only know of two times in the last 7 years I've been caught off guard emotionally. One was July 6th, 2 years ago, when Brother Stoltz passed away. When Susan called me and said, "Preacher, Rich is dead. He's in heaven." I said, "Say what?" I pulled off the side of the road I was driving. Matter of fact, just down the road down here, that empty service station right across from the VA. I pulled right into that parking lot when I found the news out and just rattled my head for a second. I couldn't get my head around. And I said, "No, he just played guitar at the July 4th picnic." She said, "No, he fell over dead with a heart attack in the shower." Whew. The only other time was when Ray Craig hit that bear and turned his truck upside down and burnt to death in that truck. And he just helped us move out of one building into another. I'd just seen him the night before. And his wife called and said, "Ray's in heaven." I said, "Say what? No, he's not." It just took a little while. I don't usually get caught off guard emotionally. I don't let my emotions control me. Usually in pretty good shape for them. Can I tell you something? When those times come, I run to God and say, "Okay, I'm going to need you really fast." I took about 15 minutes alone with God before I got home and told my wife, "We need to go to the Stoltz's because Brother Rich just passed away." "What?" "Yeah, let's go." It took me about 15 minutes before I got myself back emotionally to where I felt like I could even do anything. I just sat there numb for a few minutes. Now what? I couldn't imagine how his family was feeling. Say, "Well, preacher, why did God do that?" God didn't. Brother Stoltz was a sinner just like you and me. Don't get mad at God for that. We're to trust God with our emotions. You say, "How do you do it?" Well, he gave us a book to guide us. He said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So I got alone with God, and I said, "I don't know how to comfort the family. What am I going to say? You're going to have to help me. I've spent time with you. I've spent time in your book. And I don't even know what to tell them. I got home and my wife was there. And I said, we've got to go. She said, honey, what can we even do? I said, I don't know other than be there. I said, as a pastor, this is a time I fail. Because I can't even help them. Other than just be there. Nothing I say is going to change it. We went there. We talked. We started laughing. We cried. We laughed. We laughed some more. If you knew Rich, you'd know why we were laughing. I remember going to the funeral home, helping her plan the funeral and picking out a casket. Those aren't times to laugh. But we were laughing during part of it. They were talking about clothing and different things. I said, oh yeah, make sure he's got a pink shirt. And they were all, Well, unbeknownst to me until the day of the funeral, I didn't know this. And she told me right before the funeral service, she said, oh, by the way, preacher. She said, I put pink socks on Rich. I said, you have got to be kidding. She said, no, we put pink socks on you. We talked about it. That's the only thing that brought us a little comfort, our way of getting back at him. So we were at the graveside. If you were there, you'd know I said this. I brought that story out, and I said, you do know that at the rapture, he's kicking them puppies off. And we all laughed a little bit. You say, why? That was God giving direction and comfort where we needed it. God can direct our emotional path. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Thy path emotionally. God did not say not to have emotion. He said, lean on me when you don't know what emotion to have, and I will show you, and I'll show you which path to take with those emotions. By the way, if you went to the book of Judges, chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, we will not take time to turn there. But in Judges chapter 16, you have the story of Samson. He is sitting with his head in the lap of Delilah. And the Bible says that he told her all the things of his heart. Guess what? He was telling the wrong person his heart. Samson gave his heart to the wrong person, and look what happened. They shaved his head, they gouged his eyes out with a hot, red hot iron and burned his eyeballs out of place. Put him up to the mill, grinding at the mill like an animal. Ruined his life. Why? Because he told all of his heart to the wrong person. Parents, be careful. Young people, whoever tells you, oh, just trust your heart, it'll tell you what to do. My Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't trust your heart. Amen. Why don't you trust the word of God and people of God? Amen. The worst thing you can do in any relationship is trust your heart. Say why? Because your heart is sinful. God destroyed the world. Genesis chapter 8 verse 21. He said, I destroyed the world because the wickedness of man's heart was out of control. God wants us to trust him with our emotions. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. Can I tell you where problems in marriages take place? Because somebody in the marriage doesn't want to pay attention to somebody's emotions. Then they find somebody at work or somewhere else that'll listen to their emotions. And then we start having problems. We need to be careful that we don't trump people's emotions. By the way, I may not always respond to you with the emotion you expect me to respond with. Sometimes you want a response from me that I cannot give you. I'll give you what you need, not what you want. Amen. Sometimes you need a little correction and a kick in the seat versus a little pat on the head and a little bit of lovey-dovey stuff. Amen. Sometimes you want me to burp you and I'm going to smack you on the back of the head. Say why? Because that's what you need, because you don't need burped. You need to wake up. Everybody doing all right? In other words, sometimes you're looking for a certain reaction, and that's not the emotion God needs you to have. Everybody doing okay? So don't get upset with me. I'll do what God tells me to do and do what's needed, whether you want it or not. I love you. By the way, it won't always be by your understanding, but it could be. I've been down this path enough times that I know where it leads. And if you go down the path that you want to go down, you're going to destroy your life. Number three, I've got to hurry. We are to praise him with our whole heart. Turn to Psalm 9. There's other verses I won't take you to. I'll just spit them out to you. But Psalm 9, the Bible says this. And I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. Verse number 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. That means all your heart. I will show forth thy marvelous works. Guess what? We are supposed to praise God with our whole heart, with our emotions. We could go to Psalm 86:12 and other places. It talks about praising the Lord with all our heart or with our whole heart. Everybody look at me, especially you men and you teenagers, young men. These, there's churches out there that are dead. They don't believe in shouting amen. Well, bless God, you're in a church. I believe in shouting amen.
Amen.
I believe that when God gets a hold of you, you ought to get as excited about church and preaching as you do at a ball game.
Amen.
If you can get more excited over a dead pig that they blew back up and kick it through some plumbing at the end of the pasture, you get excited about that, but you don't get excited about people getting saved and truth, lives being changed, something's wrong.
Amen.
I believe men ought to say amen in church.
Right.
I believe we ought to laugh at church. I went to a church one time to preach, and they said, now, just so you know, we don't say amen here, and we don't let laughing in church. I said, you don't let it? They said, no, it's a holy place. Well, they got the wrong preacher that time. You say, what did you do? We had fun in church, and for the first time, they started laughing. They wrote, I said, it's okay. God didn't strike me dead. It's all right. Lightning won't fall. I got up and in church saying, he filled my mouth with laughter. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And I started doing the laughter song. I had people giggling. I even caught the preacher laughing, who told me not to do it. I said, preacher, you broke your own rule. You're laughing. And the whole crowd went, goop. He went, bah, started laughing. Guess what? About 3 weeks later, I got a letter that said, you changed my church. That's not what I wanted you to do, but God brought you here to change, and I needed my wanter changed. He said, we're starting to enjoy church for the first time. Whew. Church ought to be a place we laugh. I mean, just look at Brother Wiley. That's enough to make anybody laugh. That's why Hmong's always smiling. You see, these are the intellectual churches. These are the people that talk about God. Well, folks, if you have to say God, you've got to go back to school and learn phonics. It's not G-W-A-D. Is G-O-D, God. Not God. They want to sound intellectual. And they're going to be used the sanctity of the church. And we don't have an auditorium. What's the word they call that thing? Yeah, they have a sanctuary. Folks, my Bible says the sanctuary is where the presence of God is. That's in your heart. Your heart is the sanctuary of God. If not this auditorium.
Amen.
What was the word? The chancel. I don't even know what one of those is. I had to look it up. It meant the pulpit. And they had it off to the side. Right front and middle, man. Smack you in the face, going and coming.
Amen.
We're to sing with emotion. Did you know you're supposed to sing with emotion, not stand there like a bump on a log? Well, I can't sing. Sing anyway. Sing and praise God. Some of you do your heart a lot of good if you'd learn just to open your mouth and sing the songs instead of stand there. Some of you look like you sucked dill pickle juice before you walked in the door. We're to shout with emotion. We're to praise Him in private with our emotion. Have you ever, by yourself, just had a fit with God and having a glory fit? You hear me say, man, I get alone sometimes and I just got happy and run around the building with no shoes on, clanking my boots over my head. Say, why? Because I was having a good time being in God. I don't do it with everybody around because you don't need to smell my stinking feet. But when's the last time you praised Him for your food or your health or your safety or your house or your clothes or your salvation or your eternal security or the Word of God? When's the last time you praised God with any emotion at all about anything? You wonder why you have problems seeing good in people. I'll tell you what the major problem is. You don't praise God at all. How can you praise sinful man if you won't praise a holy God? Number four, I'm hurrying. So, I said, the heart is the seat of emotion. God wants us to trust Him with our emotions. We are to praise Him with our whole heart. Number four, we're to seek God in the Bible and church with our whole heart or with our emotion. Turn to Psalm 119. We were in the book of Psalms. Many of you just flip over a few chapters here. Psalm 119, look at verse number 2. Psalm 119, verse number 2, the Bible says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Notice, and if we went to Psalm 119, look at verse number 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Guess what? We are to seek the Bible. We are to learn at church with our emotions. We are to seek God with our emotions. In other words, let me say it this way. You ought to seek God like that little kid in the store that got separated from his mama and can't find mama. Did you ever see one of those in the store? All of a sudden, mama got away. And the little kid standing there thinking, uh-oh, where'd she go? And he starts getting a little nervous and looking around, and then you hear it, Mom! And every woman in the building goes, Pah! Every man's going, wish that kid would shut up. Hope he finds his mother. Then you find out it was yours. Now, wait a minute. That child looking for mama with his whole heart. Say, why? He doesn't want to be left in that store by himself any longer. God says we are to seek Him with our whole heart, with all of our heart. Did you guess what? You're supposed to read the Bible with your emotions. Right. Listen to me, not commentaries, the Bible. Commentary is some knothead that thinks he knows something, writing things about things that God didn't even say. Say, well, preacher, what commentaries do you use? The King James Bible. Amen. I don't use any commentaries. I don't look up to see what Dr. Messamup said. I don't write any or find any scholarly proof of this. I don't need any scholarly proof. God said it. What more proof do I need? Amen. We don't need cute little devotional books, you know, just a little talk with Jesus or whatever. I'm not opposed to reading that, but if that's all you ever read, guess what? You got problems, and most of the people that write in those things have bad doctrine. Be careful. I guess I could get excited about reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit showing me something, and I could have a spell. Man, I get excited, and I got to tell somebody. I'll call Brother Josh and say, hey, I got to show you this. Then I realize I'm going to preach it for church. Then I won't call him, and I'll call a preacher friend and say, hey, man, I'm working on something. I got preachers all the time giving me good material because they all of a sudden share with what they're working on. Guess what? I give them sermon ideas. They gave me sermon ideas. Say why? Because we're excited about the truth God showed us. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Oh, by the way, I don't call them and tell them about how bad my people are and how discouraged I am because I got somebody doing this and somebody doing that. I don't call my friends and try to just find comfort from them. No, we call about truth and get excited about it and have a spell for a while. I think we ought to be in church every chance we get. I think we ought to be emotionally in church. When you come to church, do me a favor. Leave your stoic attitude at home. Do you know how fun it is to preach to this? I wish you could see what we see. Every once in a while, I cut loose just to make you laugh on purpose because I'm tired of looking at your ugly face. Say why? Because I'm trying to get to find out whether you're listening or not. Well, I'm mad. Well, at least I know you're listening.
Amen.
I'll preach hard enough to find out. You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, and when it squalls is the one you hit. Amen? Found you. Sit still. It's okay. Some of us ought to come to church and enjoy the emotion of it. It's not wrong. Some of you, this is the only respite you have. It's a pretty nasty world out there. It's pretty rough where you work. You work around lost people. We ought to be more excited here than at work.
Amen.
For more than one reason. Some of you, you're only happy if you're doing one thing in life. Can I tell you something? You're going to be miserable.
That's right.
Well, preacher, I'm happy when I'm sleeping. Nobody else is happy. Snore too loud. At least that's what my wife says. Can I tell you something? You don't get saved by trusting him with all your heart. You love him with all your heart. You love him. You praise him with all your heart. And we are to search his word with all our heart. So, well, I have this problem, preacher. Good, let's go to the Bible and see what God said. So you just think that's the answer to everything. Yeah, because I happen to know it's the only book God ever wrote. He gave it to man, said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word.
Right.
Not by every calorie, every word.
Amen.
I don't need to binge eat because I'm depressed. I need to binge read because I'm depressed.
Amen.
Some of you save about 6 inches on the waist if you'd start reading that and quit eating so much.
Amen.
Ouch. That should have been oh me, Scott, not amen. I'm preaching to myself now. Told you I step on my own toes sometimes. That'd trip you up. Can I tell you something? How about we just decide we're going to love God with our emotion? Now watch this. You don't get saved with emotion. You don't judge somebody because of their emotion. But what you do is this. Once you are saved, we should learn to love him with our emotion. You think if I went home and showed my wife no emotion, that our marriage would be as strong as it is today? Do you think it would last the 30 plus years that we've been married with no emotion? This mentality, well, I told you once that I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. Oh, that's really, really good. Can I tell you something? We're to love with our emotion. Emotions are not a bad thing, but you don't get led by your emotions. Ladies, don't get upset when a man doesn't let his emotions control his thinking. But men, sometimes we need to think of everybody's emotions involved. Sometimes emotion is needed. Well, bless God, I can just push through it. Yeah, that's why the Bible says, surely you're brutish as an animal. That's how an animal gets through it. Surely I'm more brutish than any man, but have not the understanding of a man. Maybe we ought to have a little bit of understanding. God says to love him with all our heart. He didn't say get saved with all your heart. You say, why? Because at that point in time, your heart is black with sin. It needs Jesus to come in and change it. And you grow into that. Everybody doing okay? We are to love him. We are to praise him. And we are to read and study and learn him with all our heart. You don't get saved with all your heart. You get saved out of obedience. Then God gives you a new heart. And he gives you the capacity to grow that heart. That's what it means. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wonder who would say, preacher, there's something in that sermon I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many. Almost every hand went up. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When it begins to play, if you need to use this altar today, you come. Some of you just need to come put some emotion at the heart, at the altar. Say, God, I just want to love you with my heart.